A couple things before I dive into this morning's lesson is, I always say it was Wesley, I don't know how you know what I'm preaching about, but those songs just line right up with what I'm preaching about. When we talk about Christ being the rock, and then we're going to talk about that in our lesson this morning, it just reveals to me how much the Lord is guiding this worship. Amen. You know, we're living in troubled times. We look around the world at all the trouble that goes in this world. The rumors of war, wars that goes on, and gas prices through the roof, and we all wondering how we're going to make it. You know, Jesus was getting ready to leave, and I brought this up at Caution Street last Sunday when I did the Lord's Supper. Jesus was about to leave the disciples, and this is what he told them. If you go to John 15, chapter 16, verses 33, and sometimes we need this reminder. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world there will be trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. No matter what goes on in our life, we need to realize and understand that at times that whatever happened around us, God has already overcome the world. And we can take peace in that. This morning, if you have your Bible and you want to turn over to Matthew chapter 7, that's where we'll be this morning. Which was read so fine this earlier, Matthew 7 verses 24 through 27. Everybody knows this story. The foolish man and the wise man building his house upon the rock. But I want us to take some things out of it. And there's a little story behind this. If you can do basic math, you'll be able to figure out about how old I'll turn this year. Back in when I was grew up in Caution Street, and this is why I did the sermon in a pocket, I call them, that I keep on hand, is back in the 76, when I was 10 years old, I preached my very first sermon in the future preacher's class, and I was in front of the congregation as a 10-year-old, scared to death, preaching my first sermon. I'm still scared to death, but I'm still preaching. Preaching my very first sermon. The sermon lasted about 3-4 minutes, and it was using these verses here. Now, 50 years later, I have the opportunity to give this very same lesson again. I'm sorry it ain't going to be but 2 or 3 minutes, or maybe a little bit longer than that. But I wanted to give that opportunity, realizing how well the Lord has blessed me to bring me 50 years down the road and be able to preach that same sermon that I was able to preach to Caution Street in the future preacher class. One note that I was saved for them, but I bring up to y'all this morning, is when I got up on that podium, there was a note that I still remember today that was on that podium. On that podium it says, "You are facing the greatest people on earth. Please address them as such." And that has stuck with me since I was 10 years old. You need to realize you are the greatest people on earth. You're God's people. So let's go into this lesson this morning in Matthew. The title of this lesson is Build Your House on the Rock. And this is some of the notes I pulled away from studying this. It's just a few verses. Jesus painted a vivid picture of two builders, one wise and one foolish. The wise builder chose to build his rock on a foundation, which represents the obedience to God's word. The foolish builder chose sand, symbolizing a life built on shifting values, self-reliance, and worldly priorities. Have we really thought about what that really means? When we choose to build our house other than on Christ, it brings that we have built our house on shifting values. If you look around the world, every time you turn around, the worldly values change. And it's not for the good. Self-reliance, That's a lesson I learned over the last 50 years is I can't rely on myself because I fail every time. And I realize the more I lean on Christ, the more I lean on God, the better off I am. You know, we are stubborn people, ain't we? Sometimes that's a long lesson to learn. As I look back over the last years that I've been here on earth, that's probably one of the hardest lessons that I've had to learn is relying on myself and not on the Lord. And the worldly priorities. I was talking to somebody about this very subject, about it. He went to the church early on and he stopped going and he's having his difficult times. I said, God's word doesn't make worldly sense. That's the problem that you're having. You're trying to put the God's word into this world to fit into this world, and it doesn't fit. It doesn't make earthly sense. I said, it's about a relationship with God, about nothing else around you. Because we're all humans, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to struggle. But God is the rock that we need to lean on. If we try to rely on ourselves, if we try to rely on even another Christian, we're going to fail one another. But we need to rely on God's word. The key point that God has on this, hearing God's word is not enough. Living it out is what anchors us to it. We can hear the word, but that's not enough. If we choose just to hear it, because what was going on here, is what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. If you go back just a couple of chapters, that's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mountain. And Jesus laid all these things out, and this is what he told them at the end of that sermon was, you're going to be on one side or the other. You're going to be a wise builder that hears my word and obeys it, or you're going to be a foolish one that hears my word and don't obey it. So we're going to have to rely on it. The storms will come. If you think just because you're a Christian, you're not going to face storms, you got a lot to learn this morning. Because the storms are coming. You just think about what goes on in this world. I don't care where you live in the world, there's going to be a storm. I don't care if you're a Christian or not a Christian, there's going to be a storm. The rains, the floods, and the winds in this parable represents life's trials. Loss in our lives. Temptations, disappointment, spiritual challenge. Both houses face the same storm, but only one of on the rocks stand firm. There's no way of getting out of the troubles in our lives. We can look in this very room and people are facing struggles and trials and tribulations this morning. And we need to realize that that's going to happen. Faith doesn't prevent the storm. It prepares you for them. It prepares that you can be able to withstand those storms. Jesus, that did not difference between the wise man and the foolish builder is, it's action. The wise builder heard and did what Jesus said and obeyed it. Not legalistic. It ended up being trusting God's way and over his own way. You know, if you give us just laws, we look for ways around it. We look for loopholes. And the same thing from the very beginning of time as Christians, if you just lay this out, oh, this is a law I have to follow. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Let's go all the way back to the beginning of time when Adam and Eve, God said, just don't eat of the fruit. And what did Satan do come along? He said, will you surely die? Eve, and then Adam later goes, I don't think so. Does that really mean not to eat of the fruit? That's what we're going to do if we look at God's laws and look at what he tells us to do is just a law that we have to follow. We're going to look for those loopholes. We're going to look for ways around it that we can justify not doing his will. But it comes down to this. It comes into trust in God's way. Knowing that it's better. Knowing that our way is not. Relying on him. That's what we need to understand. It's not that the legalistic part, hey, I got to follow all these rules and regulations and all, and got to do this to be a Christian. It's to trust in God. Once you do that, you want to follow the law because you know, hey, I'm not going to get hurt as much as a Christian. I'm going to be able to overcome whatever comes up. You know, as kids, and I'm just thinking of the story as we're preaching, that as kids, you tell me not to do something, I'm not going to do it, right? As a young little boy, this is how stubborn I was. My sister just finished ironing clothes and said, "Don't touch that iron. It's hot." She walked away. What I do? I went and burnt the whole hand. I need to rely on what my sister told me, that it's hot. And that's what God does with his law, with his the things he puts us. He puts us in there so we don't get hurt. If we rely on him, that we are able to overcome struggles and stuff like that. Then instead of going up there and like God telling me, "Don't touch it, it's hot," and me going, I'm still going to suffer the consequences. That's what we need to realize. So what I want to do, take hold of this morning, is to go and back just at the beginning of the chapter, because there's so much more we cover. I want y'all to go back as a homework is put. Go back to chapter 5 and read through chapter 5 all the way to the end of chapter 7. Because Jesus told them at the end of the sermon what I just told you. So there's points that we need to pull out from his sermon that will help us when time to become who we need to be. So I want to just go back. Let's go back to chapter 7 at the very beginning of the verse. And let's go over some of those things that Jesus told us right before this point. First one he wants to talk about is about judging. And starting in chapter 7, verse 1, it tells us this: "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." Let me begin again. "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, will be judged with the measurement you use. It will be measured to you. Why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and not pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take out the speck out of your own eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." First thing it tells us in the first part of Matthew is be careful in how you judge others. You know what our biggest downfall as Christians, and I believe it to this day, is how we judge other people. We already got in our mindset that they're not a Christian, and that's the world's end for him right there. You're right. Right at that moment, that's the state they may be in. But we have an opportunity to bring them and show them a better way. But what's talking here is not talking necessarily about those out there. It's like this picture I have up here. It's about talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the way we judge others, he tells us, be very careful. Make sure you examine yourself before you try to help somebody else. If you see somebody in struggle, and this is my suggestion, if you see somebody in struggle with a sin, the very first thing that you ought to do is, let me look at myself. Am I doing something similar? Am I doing something that I may be struggling with? Examine myself. Because that's not the worldly perspective. The worldly perspective, if you can point something out and somebody wrong, point it out. It takes everybody looking at you, eyes off you. But I'm telling you, if we examine ourselves before we judge others, then that will make a difference. It's Because if we really look at how Christ judged us, how did he judge us? While we were yet sinners, he died. And the point of trying to make a difference in our lives, to save us. While we were yet sinners, he dies. And if we look at people the way Jesus looks at us, it will be a totally different perspective on how we judge us. So right off at the beginning in chapter 7, be careful on how you judge others. You know, and I like what it goes into the next verse, the set of verses that I want you all to look at is in Matthew 7 through 11. He tells us this. Before we ask, in verse 7 it says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks will receive, and whoever seeks will find. To the one who knocked, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for a bread, will give them a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, you thought you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything. You know, I put this picture up here because we think God sometimes is one that will provide us great gifts, and he does. He provides us blessing well beyond what we deserve. But he's not Santa Claus. He's not here to provide us the gifts that we want. He provides the gifts that we need. And then whatever we get in the struggles and difficulties, and we go to the Lord and to prayer and ask him, he's not going to hold anything back. He's going to promise you that right there. But he's going to provide you with the things that you need for life. You know, sometimes you go open up Christian people, open up present. Well, you know, that's not quite what I expected. But I'm telling you, God's presence, God's gifts are the right thing at the right time and what you need the most. And he said, I'm not going to hold any of that back. And to realize that we need to ask and go to our fathers when we're struggling with sin, or when we're struggling with illness, or we're struggling with finances, or we're struggling with anything. The Lord's going to provide you with everything you need and more. And I always say it, and y'all have heard me say it before, I'm blessed well beyond my deserved. I've added to that, despite myself. And Jerry was asking me if I could come and give the lesson this morning, and I said, I'd love to. He said, well, you'll be blessed for it. I said, Jerry, I'm trying to catch up. I'm so blessed I can't catch up. And that's what our Lord does for us, and that's what we need to. And that's becoming reliant on his gifts, not on ours. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to rely on God's gift, what he has to offer for us, because they're going to give us the things that we need for life. And he tells us as we go on in Matthew, talking about narrow and the way, the gate. Let's read on with Matthew chapter 12 and reading on through verse 14. So when everything do to others that you would have them do unto you. And that was what I was reading on earlier. Verse 13 is where we need to drop down to. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that lead to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. What a shame. That is. This picture that I worked on and that's the truth. The gate's wide and there's a storm. They're about to face and be able to struggle. And people still move forward to it. moving forward to destruction. Only a few people go off the path that God has. And to this day, I don't understand it. Especially those who are Christians. The ones who have the taste of the gifts from God and the Lord. How they could ever turn their back on the Lord. There's a gentleman that I work with that cleans the office before I get there. I get there early in the morning and we talk. And that's some of the conversation that we have. How could anybody, once they become a Christian, once they realize what it's all about and what it really means, turn themselves away? But so many do. And what Jesus was telling them there that morning or afternoon, whenever it was done, he was telling them, look, all these people out here, look around you. Most of them won't accept it. Most of them will not rely on me like they should. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this morning, if you rely on anything else, you're heading to destruction. There's only one way. There's only one path that we can take. And that's God's path. All right, let's read on. Matthew chapter 7, 15 through verse 20. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you like sheep in sheep clothing, but rather they are fierce wolves. But their fruit is like, will be recognized, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorns or figs from thorns? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear fruit that is bad. A tree cannot bear good fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus be the fruit that you will recognize them. There's a lot of teachings out there. How do you tell the difference? I'll tell you a little story about one of the ladies that Kim knows that we're talking about church. He said the preacher got up there and said, hey, I'm getting ready to go on vacation and I need a little extra money to be able to go on vacation. Please make sure you put a little extra in the contribution. I said, where is that in Scripture? Yeah. I says, that ought to tell you something. When people are trying to get gifts for themselves and do stuff for themselves, that might be a first sign, hey, they might be preaching of God's word. Because that makes worldly sense, but that don't make godly sense. Worldly says, look out for number one no matter what. And when you get these false preachers, you get up there and they're going to lead you in a direction and they're not taking you down the path you need to go to, then you need to look at their fruits. Good thing about today's time and age, if I'm preaching and saying something I shouldn't be saying, you got a book to check me. And I'm telling you right now, if I do it by mistake or if I do it on purpose, if I'm not following God's word, don't listen to me. Because there's only one that we can rely on. Because he tells you they're going to come in there like wearing sheep clothing. Some of the ones you listen on TV, some of the ones you listen preaches sounds like it's a perfect thing. That's it just makes sense. No. Measure it. If it doesn't measure up to this, then it has no value whatsoever. And that's why we have an obligation and responsibility, and that's why he was telling them, judge them by their fruits. He said, judge them by their fruits. Because if they're not producing the good fruit of God's word, you'll be able to see it. How are we supposed to treat one another? Even our enemies. The Bible tells us how to treat our enemies. Love them, show mercy and grace. Take care of them. If they're not preaching from the scripture, which you have to judge them with, that has no value. Judge them by their fruits. This is what I would never want to hear, is I never knew you. And this was, as we read on in verse 21 through 23, it tells us this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that, who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Always away from me, you evildoers. That's one thing that I want us to really focus on. I'd never want to face my Lord and hear that. And this goes to those who not only non-Christians, but this talks about those who are proclaiming the Lord. Let's go back to the very beginning, as we talked about in the lesson. Be careful how you judge others. We really need to focus on our lives and make sure that we're relying on the Lord, doing His will. We need to be paying attention to studying God's scriptures daily, praying daily, doing everything we need so that that day doesn't come where we're facing the Lord, I never knew you. Christianity is a gift that God gives us. But He also tells us through our scriptures that to carry our cross daily. It takes some work. It takes some effort on our part, because you know why? How are we going to reach those who need to save the lost? It's done through us. And do we want somebody we're teaching? I thought about this as I was reading this. Is the ones we're teaching, do we want the people that we're teaching to face Jesus and hear that? So we need to focus on the truth. We need to focus on His Word. We were singing about it earlier, that Christ is the rock. And if you saw the house that set up on that rock, it wouldn't go nowhere but those houses on the sand. And we've had a lot of disasters over the last couple of years where a flood can do great damage. Very quickly. Sin can do great damage very quickly in our lives. And if we don't pay attention and we don't get prepared and we don't build our faith in Christ Jesus, when we face those trials and tribulations and discouragement, we're going to want to fall apart. When we face those trials and tribulations, we're going to want to just say, I don't understand. You're thinking in worldly sense, not godly sense. I had an opportunity this week to talk to someone I love very much. And I said, the Lord is taking care of me every day of my life. I look back at all everything that I've gone through, all the struggles that I've gone through, even with my loved ones. Because the question was, why do I still stand? Because the longer I stand in doing God's will, He has never failed me. If it came to my finances, and that's what we were talking about, it came to my finances, one of the loved ones I had was struggling through finance, everything blasting through. I said, I've never had to worried about finances. We all know the verses, Philippians 2:14, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. What did it talk about prior to that? Paul talked about, I know what it was like to be hungry. I know what it was like to be well fed. I know what it was like to be in need. I knew what it was like to have plenty. But I was always content. And that's what I realized and told him that say, there may be times that I was poor, dirt poor, as they would say. But I was taken care of. There may be times that I had plenty and that I was able to help others, but it was because of the Lord. Always glorify the Lord in good times and bad times, because He's always going to take care of you. He's the rock that will never fail. We rely on ourselves or we rely on somebody else, we're going to always fall short. Ultimately, the rock is not the good, is not just good morals. It is Jesus Himself. He is unchanging, faithful, strong enough to hold the weight of our lives. That's what we need to realize and understand. That He's unchanging. He's always the same. So let me ask yourself, when you look for the good fruits, which path are you going to take? You going to rely on yourself? You going to rely on somebody else? Because I can tell you right now, those two paths are going to lead, you're going to have more struggles than you can realize. You need to realize and understand that Christ is the only way. That little sermon 50 years ago that was 2 or 3 minutes, there was a whole lot more to the story, and there's a whole lot more that I can be able to preach to you this morning if you all go all the way back to Matthew chapter 5. There's so much more, but it's all right here. He doesn't hold anything back from us. He doesn't hold one thing back. His word, His love, His mercy, and His grace. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but all I can ask you is where you're building your foundation on. Your life. Whatever aspect that you're struggling with, if it's finance, sickness, if it's trouble with family members, trouble with church members, wherever you have struggles, where you're relying your strength at this morning. I know where I rely on mine. I can tell you, like I said earlier, I'm blessed well beyond what I deserve despite myself. And like I told Jerry yesterday morning, I'm still chasing up for the blessings that He's already done. I don't know how I'm going to ever catch up. All I can say to you this morning, if you do, the more you do for the Lord, just wait and see what He'll do for you. If it's giving, and like we did earlier, I always say, try to outgive God and see what happens. You're not going to do it. Try to rely on God more and more and see where He's going to fail you. It's not going to happen. Start relying on yourself, and you already know what's going to happen from your experience with life. So, just if there's anything that we can do for you this morning, Jerry will be up here to be able to take your prayers and offer to the church. Because I'll tell you, I've said it before, a prayer of a righteous man will avail much. And there's a lot of righteous people in this, not because of themselves, because they rely on the Heavenly Father. And I can tell you right now, that's where righteousness comes into play. Is it's not about our ability, it's about God's ability. So you ain't got to face it alone. You got a whole room full of people that will be praying for you and be encouraging you. No matter what you're going through, they'll be there for you. You ain't got to face it alone. And I guarantee the Lord will not fail you. Why don't you come now as we stand and sing?